Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey friends, happy Friday. Oh, it is Friday. We've made it to Friday. I have a great show for you today, and the reason it's so great is because it's one of my favorite people in the entire world. Yes, it is true. My husband, Aaron Ivey, is on the show with me today. Aaron's been on a handful of times, and here's what you're going to get when Aaron joins me on the show. First of all, we joke a lot. We laugh a lot. You're going to get a little bit of insight into our relationship. But on today's show in particular, we wanted to talk about something very specific. Sometimes we just get on and we answer questions and we chat about whatever. But today we talked about dating, and we explained why we talked about dating. We recently spoke to a college kid at our church about dating. And so we came up with four pieces of advice for dating. Now, before you think, well, I'm not dating, this doesn't apply to me, I want you to know this conversation is really good for all of us because we all have people in our lives who are in the stage of dating. All of us know people. And so I think you're going to get something out of all of this. Also, we said there's probably 800 other things we could say. These are just the four we came up with today. It's fun having Aaron on the show today because next week, Kim and I are going out of town together and I'm so excited. So if you have any great recommendations for some New York City daytime activities or nighttime activities, we would love to hear them. Speaking of love to hear from you, I told you on Wednesday's show that I would actually really love to hear from you. Go to jamieivey.com/call me and you can leave me up to a 1 minute message. Now, here's what I really would love. I would love to answer some of your questions and your comments on the podcast. So if you have something you would love to hear me answer, send me a message, ask me a question, and I would love to play that on the show, answer it for you and for everyone else as well. Guys, I hope you heard Wednesday's show with Ginger Volo on the show, but I want to tell you next Wednesday is one of my favorite conversations I've had in a long time. Sorry, Aaron, you are one of my favorite, but KB is on the show next Wednesday. And his book is fire, and the conversation was fire, and I could have talked to him forever, so don't skip out on next week's episode. All right, you guys, here is my conversation with my man, Aaron Ivey, and we're talking about dating. Aaron Ivey, welcome to the Happy Hour.
I'm so glad to be on the Happy Hour.
Well, I didn't do my very good research, because I don't know how many times you've been here, but it has to be five or six or seven.
I thought
seven.
You were going
to
say, I didn't do much research, I don't know much about you.
I do know a lot about you.
You usually research all of your guests.
I do research my guests, but
you do know a lot about me.
I know everything. The scary thing is I wonder if I don't know everything.
Oh my gosh.
Hello, Enneagram 6.
That is such an Enneagram 6 thing.
100%.
Uh-huh. You're always like, there's probably something I don't know about him. And in your mind, you're like, he is a drug lord. He is a serial killer.
Or has a lot of mistresses.
Oh my gosh. What's wrong
you
with
mean
you?
To give everyone
I never think that. There's not any part of me, no part of me wonders, do I know everything about Jamie?
I want to give you a little insight into my brain. And when I tell you these things all the time, but let me tell the listener, when I tell you these things, I think it does make you mad, but you've learned to just kind of let it go.
I just roll my eyes. And I used to be like, that's stupid. Stop saying that. What are you talking about? But I learned that that's not the best strategy. So I'm always like, oh no, that's not true, babe.
But one of my greatest fears is really that you will cheat on me. It is like a deep, deep. Okay, right?
We've been talking about this for 20 years.
22 probably. Okay?
True.
And I have come a long ways, but I think, and Jesus has done so much work, but I think it might, the work is not going to be finished until I walk through those pearly gates, okay? And so just this morning that we're recording this podcast, did you notice I came back to the house?
I did notice you came back to the house.
Okay,
why?
So Story and I left to go to school. I just want you to know my brain, and it is, I'm sorry ahead of time.
Wait, this morning you came back home because you thought something bad?
No, let me finish. As Story and I were driving out of our neighborhood, I passed a car, and we live in a neighborhood, there's got to be, I don't know, 20 houses.
Right.
Okay. So you see a lot of the same people. It's not weird if you see someone you don't know. We're not like neighborhood watch here.
Right.
But I did pass a car and I was like, huh, I've never seen that person before. So we get halfway through the neighborhood and Story goes, oh my gosh, Mom, I forgot my phone. And so we went back to the house.
But normally you'd be like, we don't have time. We're going.
Well, I didn't have time because I was almost late to work. But I was like, okay, so we go back to the house. And my thought was, what if Aaron thought I was gone?
Jamie, what is something wrong with me? You?
I know. I'm sorry. It's me. It's not you.
That's true.
I know.
100% true.
Speaking of Enneagram, I don't want to blame everything on Enneagram because it's just a tool. But I did read this, and we're going to talk about marriage and dating today. So just now, full disclosure, we're recording this the day before Valentine's Day. So Instagram.
Oh, shoot. Today is the day before Valentine's Day. I hope your gift gets here in time.
Please don't give me a
gift. I ordered it like 3 months ago.
Okay. The day before Valentine's Day, and our friends over at Your Enneagram Coach, this is what they said. These are what others love about each Enneagram type.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go for you first. You would fall under Enneagram 3.
Right. This is what other people love about me.
What we love about type 3s.
Okay.
Their ability to see the potential in others.
True.
Their strong work ethic.
True.
Their optimism and determination.
Hmm.
Okay.
That feels very fair.
Then what others love about type 6 would be where I would find myself. Their preparedness and desire to help others feel secure.
Listen, if there's a zombie apocalypse, you've got it all figured out.
I'm ready.
I'm surprised you don't have a bunker underneath our house.
I might. Like, you don't even know about it.
That's probably fair.
Their wit and humor.
Okay. True. Didn't I last night tell you?
You did.
We got in bed and I was like, one of the things I really love about you is you're so funny.
Oh. And then I was like, tell me how. How do I make you laugh? And
I was like, I don't know. I'm tired.
That sounds like we have conversations like that in bed. Like, here's the three things I love about you today.
We do not normally have those
and then the third thing would be their friendship, loyalty, wisdom, and support.
100% true.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. I love all those things about you.
Thanks.
That makes me, I want to ask a question, though.
Okay.
You know, Jackie Hopery has said some things about Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about what she's saying about Enneagram?
I've had several people ask me this. I love Jackie. Y'all
me
know.
Too.
We're, like, good friends. And I also love the Enneagram. And so I will tell you and the listeners the same thing I said to Jackie personally via text.
Yep.
I said, hey, this is awesome. Keep investigating. And then, you know, I think people investigating things is great. It's great. I don't have time. I don't want to do it. But also, I know that there have been tons of people who have gone before who have investigated the Enneagram and feel safe with it. And I trust them as well. Like our friends at Your Enneagram Coach. I think they're doing great jobs. And they have it from a gospel-centered view that no one that I follow is going to say, the Enneagram is who you are.
So
it is your identity.
Yeah,
this is all about you. Yes.
Right.
They're saying, hey, here's a tool to help you. And they all see it through a gospel lens. So I'm fine if Jackie...
I don't think that's what your listeners were hoping for as an answer to that question.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we want drama in our life.
No,
like,
drama.
We want to know that you and your bestie, Jackie Hill, are like going after it.
No.
Fighting in the streets.
No.
No?
Even if Jackie was like, I am going to come out and proclaim everything about the Enneagram to be demonic, I would still be friends with Jackie.
Wait, hold on. You're saying that you two people disagreed about something, but then were civil in how they like... conversated with each other?
Yeah, and what? I didn't even like tell Jackie I disagree with her because I don't even necessarily disagree with her.
Right.
I'm like, awesome, keep investigating. Tell me what you find out. I'd be interested to hear. So
I think that's just a really cool concept for people just to talk dialogue and stuff. That's crazy.
Aaron, welcome back. You were here in the fall actually with Jaleesa on
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, collaboration over competition or community over competition. Something over competition.
Camaraderie.
No, something over competition.
No, it was camaraderie.
Should have been. That would have been really great.
No, I know. It was.
It was not camaraderie. I've never said that word in my actual entire life.
But that's our phrase that we say on our team.
Oh,
camaraderie over comparison. So I'm pretty sure that's what it was called.
No, it really wasn't.
What?
I had my own thing over here. This is not Awesome Snow Worship. I had a whole series.
Oh, sorry. I thought this was my thing. You're right. This is your thing.
Oh, my gosh.
You can call it whatever you want to call it.
Y'all, welcome to the IVs. okay, well, I wanted you to come back because when this episode is airing, we are going to be celebrating 2 years of our book that we wrote together, Being Into the World.
And by this time, you will have an amazing Valentine's gift.
I can't wait. Do you know why Valentine's Day is special to me and you?
Valentine's Day is special to us because that was our first date.
That's not true.
Valentine's Day is special to us is because that's when we consummated our first child.
Aaron, no.
Valentine's Day, no, for real. I know. Valentine's Day is special for us because that's when I proposed to you.
That is true.
Yes.
That's the night we got engaged. Okay, compliment the surprising beauty of choosing together over separate in marriage. So we wrote this book.
I can't believe it's been 2 years.
I know. And the crazy
thing
is, I
don't think I can pick this one up because it looks like a prop and has a knot on it.
We wrote this book during, well, we finished it up during COVID, which was just a disaster.
Dude.
And we also finished this book. I mean, I can't even say this because it feels like that I'm telling people that there's good stuff in here, but we finished this book during our hardest season of marriage ever.
Like, actually holding the book, it brings some triggers back.
Like, I'm about to start shaking. I'm sweating. I'm getting mad at you right now.
I might need to stay at a hotel tonight. No, we did, like, I still believe every single thing that we wrote, and it's actually pretty honest because it was written not during like a sweet season, but during a really hard season.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry to you about everything that I did
Thank
and
you.
Said.
I forgive you.
Okay.
So the book is actually really cool because we wanted to do this. And if you're watching on YouTube, jamieivy.com/YouTube, you can see the book. It's actually two books. So Aaron has one. I have one. Same chapters, but just our own personal point of view through them.
And so super like small.
Oh,
readable.
Very readable.
A lot of my friends actually have been like, dude, I read your portion of the book in like two nights.
Yeah, yeah. Very readable. Yeah. And we wanted to do that. So I'm going to put a sale up over on my webpage, jamieivy.com/store.
Oh my gosh. Look at that picture.
Oh.
That picture, though, was while we were fighting.
We took all of our photo shoot during a big fight.
But look how happy we look right there.
Marriage is hard.
Marriage is super hard.
Marriage is really hard. And we believe in marriage, which is why we wanted to write this book and why we talk about it. But we also know marriage is super hard. If you go to jamieivy.com/store, you can get $10 off on my webpage if you use a...
there's also a Bible study that goes
with the word
it.
Marriage.
Seven-session Bible study.
Bible study for as well. You could go through your church. Okay, so we're not going to talk about marriage today.
We're going to talk about dating.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here, and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We're going to talk about dating today. And so...
tell them why, like, why this is stirring up in us right now today.
Yeah,
tell
I wanted,
what we just did.
I wanted to have you on also because of compliments to your anniversary and to celebrate that you and I did that together. But we also just recently did a night with college students at our church, and our college pastor, Mitchell, asked us to come in and talk all about dating. And so we don't talk about dating a lot, although we encourage dating and we love dating.
We talk about it a lot, like two people.
Yeah, yeah, but not on like, a main stage. Yeah, it's not. It's not either one of ours lanes. But we really, really enjoyed it. So I was like, hey,
was
why
awesome.
Don't you come back on, Aaron, and let's just talk about what we talked about that night. So I want you to set it up with the one thing that we always will set up any kind of conversation revolving around marriage or dating.
Yeah,
is we always start in the same spot, and that is where
we always start at the same spot. You know, especially in like Christian circles, church circles, marriage has always been so idolized. Like, of course, that's the path for everybody, right? And so who are you going to date? How's dating going? Who are you going to marry one day? Has always been like the thing that's talked about. But we think like a really important part of the conversation is like marriage is not for everybody. Yeah. Not everybody is going to have marriage written into their story. Like God's perfect plan for some people is to be single, to have a season of singleness or even a lifelong commitment to singleness. So, you know, anytime we talk about marriage and dating, we want to like nuance that and be like, that is great if that's a part of somebody's story, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, so many examples in the Bible of people that we celebrate were single for their entire life, including Jesus, our Savior, and Paul, and so many other dynamic, amazing leaders in the Bible were single. And we have so many friends in our life that are living for Jesus. They're fulfilled. They are doing amazing things for the kingdom, and they might not ever get married, and that is okay. So we always start there.
We always start there. Not only is that okay, it's not like it's like, huh, well, I guess if that's your story. No, we're like, hey, this is like, there's goodness here.
And that is what God thought would be the best for that person.
Right. And also, we like to say, like, we obviously have been married for almost 22 years. We value marriage. We love marriage. All of the things. We think it's important. We think it's great. But it didn't solve any of our personal problems. No. And it hasn't made us better than anyone else because we are married.
It's not the thing.
It's not the
thing
that
a Christian should strive for.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get that, then you're more complete and you finally landed your calling and your purpose.
Right.
That is not true.
Yeah. Which we like to start there because both you and I grew up in pretty conservative evangelical spaces where, even if it wasn't directly said, which it might have been, it was always very much implied.
Oh, yeah.
And I say the same thing with motherhood as well. I say that it is not my greatest calling in life to be a mom, that a lot of people will get married and then become a mom and like, this is my greatest calling. And I just don't believe that's true either.
Right.
And so
I've also, like, I have a unique vantage point into a lot of 20-year-olds, right? In the sphere that I work and the people that I lead. And I mean, that has helped transform my perspective on singleness too, because seriously, some of the most passionate, zealous, like world-changing people that I know are single. Like God's using singleness in their life in a profound way, like he can use marriage in a profound way. So it's not like one is better than the other. It's just two different paths that God has for people.
And it has transformed a lot of like the rhetoric we use, the language we say.
With our kids.
And I even said this to you a couple of weeks ago. I don't even remember what you were preaching on, but you've been preaching.
I guess it was really impactful.
It was very impactful. No, but I do remember I was actually sitting next to Zach, our friend, who's been on the podcast.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I don't know what your sermon was by any means, but I kept thinking at any moment, he's going to use the example of his marriage. At any moment, he's going to bring me into this story because it made perfect sense. But also it would have excluded, like at our congregation,
at our
during
80%
that, it would have excluded 80% of the people in the room.
Right.
And you never did. Mm-mm. And I remember saying to you afterwards, like, man, I'm really proud of you because it would have been real easy. It would have been super easy
illustration
to use a marriage illustration.
This is like marriage.
Yes. And you didn't.
Yep. Yep.
And I thought that took more work for you as a pastor because you know marriage. It's like ingrained in you. You are married. And so, anyhow, just for pastors and teachers and leaders out there, it's really great to remember what kind of like examples am I using? Like I just turned in my book. So I just turned in a book. And for me, what I always want pushback from editors, from people that read it before it ever gets published is like, make me see things that I can't see. Because I'm a white woman. I'm married for 22 years. I'm a mom. I have four kids. Middle class, upper middle class. Like,
super,
you know, so
attractive,
like, okay.
dynamic, amazing personality.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I want to see other things because otherwise I could get in the trap of every example.
It's about you.
Yeah, exactly.
And your lifestyle.
Yeah. So that's another. So kudos to you. It was really great.
This college event that we did, we loved it because, I mean, first of all, we love college students. We had a Super Bowl party last night and had college ministry over, and we love being around college students, investing in them.
Although I wasn't around very many college students.
That is true, because our party was out in the barn.
Yeah.
And you decided to stay in the house where the screen was better and it was quieter.
Because I wanted to watch
the game. Football game.
Because everyone over there was like, hi, I want to hang out. I'm like, I'm not hanging out.
I think
here
last
for
night,
Patrick
about
and Jalen.
1% of the crowd was there for the game.
That's why I stayed in the house.
And that's why you bailed. Yeah.
But we had all those kids over. Because we love having college kids.
Love it. And so this event was really awesome because we got to just focus in on dating, which for a lot of college students and a lot of 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, like the question of dating is a pretty significant one because it's like for somebody who said, hey, I'm a Christian, I want to follow Jesus, that is a really big question.
Yeah.
Like, what does dating look like?
Yeah.
How do I do mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things in our culture that don't seem to line up with, like, the Bible
yeah.
and what God talks about with holiness and purity mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. it's a great conversation to talk about.
So let's jump into this conversation. We came up with 4 points. There's probably 185 points we could have come up with.
True.
We came up with 4 that we thought of right before, not right before, but as we were preparing for the event.
Right before we were walking on the stage and we're like, what are 4 points?
So we came up with 4 points, which there are more for sure. But I want to start real quick and say, like, one of the things I thought about as I was prepping for this is I sometimes, when I travel, will say, like, do Q&A on my Instagram, and mm-hmm. someone sent in a question and they say, hey, what is your advice for me? I'm 25 years old and I'm waiting for a husband.
Mm.
And that really got me thinking. And dating, people are dating in their teens. We have teenagers.
Yep.
We're talking about dating with our teenagers in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s, 50s. Like, you could date at any
totally.
Decade of your life.
Yep.
And I got her question. And at first I felt like, oh my gosh, like, there's so much deeper here. If you're 25 and you're like, hey, what's your best advice for me for waiting on a husband? And my advice to her was to not wait on anything.
Yeah.
Like, to run your race, to keep going, to do what God's called you to do. So that starts out with our number one. Our first point was this: who and how you date matters to God.
Yeah. I mean, so many times we think, okay, there are some things that matter to God, but then there's some things that he doesn't really care about, you know? So it matters a lot, like us reading the Bible or us being a part of community or whatever, but dating probably doesn't matter that much to God. But it's important when you're dating or you're in that kind of season of your life to go, okay, who and how I date this person, it does matter to God. Our relationships, the way that we treat each other, so much of the New Testament is about, like, how we interact with people, how we have relationships, and that applies to dating too. And one of our really good friends, Ben Stewart, he kind of answers a question of, like, how do I know if I should date this person? And I think that's a lot of people's question is, like, how do I know I'm around this person, I like this person, they're attractive, whatever. How do I know if I should date them? And his answer is really helpful. He's like, man, if you're a believer, your main priority in life is to chase after Jesus, to follow after him, to orient your whole life around him and what he wants for you. And so if you're doing that as, like, an individual, and then you happen to look to your right or your left and you see somebody else who's also chasing after Jesus, like, they're fixed on him, they're orienting their whole life around him and his purpose for their life. If you happen to look around and somebody's running that same race alongside you, there's some intersection in your life, you find yourself around them all the time, but both of you are running towards Jesus, then that's a good indicator mm-hmm. that it might be somebody that you can lock arms with and run that race
yeah.
together. I think that's how you know
yeah.
this is a person that I could possibly date
yeah.
because they're chasing after Jesus. They're not waiting around for somebody to date. They're not on the prowl. Their identity is formed fully in, I am a son, yeah. I am a daughter, and I'm chasing after Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought that was really super, like, helpful.
It's super helpful. Ben Stewart has a book, too, called, I think it's called Single, Engaged, Dating, Married,
Married
something
yeah.
like that. Also, our friend JP Bakluda also has a book on dating.
Yep.
We'll put all these in the show notes. I can't remember JP's title, but it's a great book on dating as well. And, you know, I just think when you think about who and how you date, it matters. Like you mentioned, there's so much in the New Testament about how we treat each other, especially how we treat other believers.
Right.
And there's no actual context for dating within Scripture. So we can't go find
yeah.
in Philippians or 1 Corinthians or even through the words of Jesus,
because
there's nothing about dating.
Like a modern thing. Like, people didn't date
right.
2,000 years ago.
Right.
Right.
It looks
like
very
our
different.
Our modern version of figuring out God's plan and whether he has in mind for two people to date, pursue
yeah.
marriage.
Yeah.
Blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah.
Yeah. So totally. So we're going to look at how does Scripture tell us to treat each other? So we need to protect their, I tell our boys all the time, like, if you're going to date a girl, you need to protect her heart. You need to protect her mind. You need to protect her soul, protect her body. And again, we have 3 boys that are in dating age.
Yeah.
Our daughter is not yet, but it just matters how you treat each other. Okay. The second point we said, and this is a good one, we said, don't act like you're married until you are.
Right.
So often people will start dating and all of a sudden, you know, like, they're a package deal. Like, it
they,
used to be
everywhere together. They do. And that's really tempting when you're dating. Like,
yes.
Well, why wouldn't we be together all the time?
Uh-huh.
But you start
yeah.
to act like you're married
yes.
when you're not.
And what is the pitfall of that? Because some people are like, well, we really like hanging out together.
Yeah, I think that there's a couple pitfalls. One is that you end up isolating yourself from your community. And there's no, like, you're not committed to a lifelong relationship with a person while you're dating.
Okay, so can I dive into that?
Yes.
Our friend Lisa Turkhurst,
mm-hmm.
she had a book come out last year. Good Boundaries, Goodbyes.
Yep.
I highly recommend. One of the best books I read last year. But we've heard her teach on this a couple times,
right.
And I always get it confused, so help me out if I'm wrong. But Lisa says
level
we've got a level 10, okay. Level 10 access.
Uh-huh.
We want to give them level 10 access, but we're dating.
Right.
But we only have a level 4 commitment.
Right.
Because we're not married. Like, anyone can bail at any time. And so the difference between level 10 and level 4 is big.
Right.
So it's a danger to our relationship for us to live in a level 10 commitment where we act like we're married, mm-hmm. but we don't. I mean, a level 10 access. See, I always mess this up.
No, you're good.
But then a level 4 commitment.
Right.
So we got to bring it down to where they're on the same page.
Right.
So in dating, we're going to give you a level 4 access and a level 4 commitment. Those match up.
Right. When you're dating, you're not supposed to give all of yourself to that person, mm-hmm. because you only have, you know, a lower degree of commitment. Like you said, you can bail at any time, and that's good. You should be able to, right? Because you haven't stood before God in your community and said, I commit to never leave you, you know? There's not that commitment yet. Mm-hmm. And so where we see people getting into a pitfall is when they're dating and they're giving all of themselves, mm-hmm. this level 10 sort of access to somebody that they're not fully committed to. Yeah. Even though you think like, well, I know I'm going to marry this person eventually, you're not married yet. And so there's that issue of like access. You're giving too much of yourself away with little commitment.
Yeah.
But then also you start to isolate yourself from everybody, mm-hmm. around you. And so we see a lot of dating couples do that where, you know, everything centers around them as a couple. Like this, for people that you and I have done marriage mentoring and, mm-hmm. things like that, or young guys that I disciple that are dating, I always talk about, hey, if your whole life orbits around you and the person you're dating, that is super unhealthy, mm-hmm. right? Because you're not married yet. And so if you do that, then you start to like push away all of your friends that have maybe been in community with you for 5-10 years, you know, your accountability partner, your group that you might be a part of at your church, your really close friendships. You start to isolate yourself from that and you form commitment with somebody that you're not really like level 10 committed, right. to yet. And so that's when it's really easy to be stupid, like, mm-hmm. make mistakes, like to be unknown by, mm-hmm. other people in your community. And you know, a lot of times, like, dating doesn't always end in marriage. And so then when that dating relationship, for whatever reason, breaks up, you find yourself and you're like, dang it, for 9 months, I have isolated with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And now these relationships have suffered, yeah. and I have to go rebuild them, yeah. or I don't have them anymore.
Yeah. I remember, this is like, I didn't love Jesus and I was really young, but I remember going into my junior year of high school, I walked back into the cafeteria on like that first day of school. And for all you guys listening, like, we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Snapchat. We didn't know where people were, right. unless they called us on our house phone, guys, to tell us, and left a message.
With a cord.
Left like, a message on our answering machine that we had to push play and maybe save it or delete it. But I walked back into the cafeteria and saw some of my friends, and they were like, we didn't see you all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had a new boyfriend, and that boyfriend broke my heart like a month later.
And that boyfriend wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
Right.
So here I am.
Yeah. I also think just super practically, what we tell people when they're dating is like, don't get into the places where you're starting to plan things that you're making plans for like this big long-term future, mm-hmm. with a person. Like, resist the temptation to have those kind of conversations. Like, a friend of mine, when he was dating, they were already talking. They're not even engaged, right? They were dating and they were already talking about like, what kind of house do we want to live in one day? Mm-hmm. Where do we want to live? Maybe we should like, you know, go in together on buying a car.
Oh, dear gracious.
Those kinds of things, like they're supposed to be separate,
yeah.
from dating.
Yeah.
And when you act like you're married before you're married, it's too much pressure and it's too many things tangled up because, again, you're not committed to that person in a sacred, like, lifelong way yet.
I'm like the worst person to talk to about this as well, because what did I tell you when did that college night? What did I tell you my goal was?
Your goal was everybody in the room should break up tonight.
I did. I said, I hope everybody breaks up.
You didn't say that to them.
I didn't say it to them. I only said
that's
it to
what
you
were thinking.
I wouldn't say it publicly.
Well, I mean, that is honestly, even in a lot of like counseling or one-on-one things, what I'm thinking is, dude, the problems that you're having, that it's because you shouldn't be dating right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Either you don't have some things worked, uh-huh. out in your own heart and soul.
Yeah.
Or that person is a disaster.
And putting, like, a ring on it does not solve those problems.
No, it makes it worse.
Tell everybody, if they invite me to their wedding, and we're close, I got to know you really well. I'm not going to do this to a stranger, but what's, right. going to happen if I'm invited to your wedding?
Okay. Every time. you will go into that little green room, that little bride's room, while she's still like putting the last little bits of makeup on, and
she's got
her mama's
on.
Putting on the whole thing, and you will look at her and you're 100% serious, and you say, you don't have to do this. If you want to back out, I've got the car ready, and we walk out of this place.
Yeah, and I remember the first time I told you, you're like, Jamie, that's so mean. But look, I just got teary-eyed because it would be better to ruin that day.
It'd be better to lose a deposit,
make
your mom and dad angry for a couple weeks.
Better.
Way better.
Than to get into a marriage that's not going to get, like, solve problems.
Right.
You know? And so,
right.
And I say that from a place of someone who did break off an engagement. And so it does have deeper meaning to me is that I was really early, but I mean, I had a lot of money in it and I loved this guy. I had a dress. I love this guy, all the things. And I just think to myself, it makes me teary-eyed to think like, what if I wouldn't have had that courage
right.
to break that off? I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here today.
And that guy was a tool.
Okay.
I met him. I'm so glad you didn't do that. Oh my gosh. Disaster.
Okay.
We also talk about with like, don't act like you're married until you're married. That's important because there are couples who go like, man, there's some red flags.
Mm.
But I think that'll work out
in the end.
It will not. So if
the red flags,
that's the beautiful
deeper
part.
Deeper red and larger.
Right. Big flags.
Big flags.
That is the purpose of like modern dating is for you, especially if you're a follower of Jesus, to go, is this person somebody that I want to spend the rest of my life with? And if there are red flags, you know, like, man, he's awesome, but he has this major anger issue every once in a while. That is a red flag for a reason, and it's meant to go, that person is not ready to be married, and I shouldn't be married to them yet. So look at all those red flags,
and
you're not committed to them yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's okay to go, I don't like those things about that person.
Yeah. And that comes in when you have a healthy view of marriage, is when it's easier to say, I see a red flag, I'm going to back up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have an unhealthy view, you think, this is my only chance.
It'll get
I need to be married.
In the end.
I really like him. He's nice most of the times. And so you're willing to put yourself in a situation because you feel marriage is the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Right.
And it's not the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Okay, let's move on. Number three. This is a good one. Speaking of don't acting like you're married until you are, number three, there is no such thing as casual sex.
Right. Yeah, we talk about it how there aren't degrees of sex. You know, a lot of times the question is like, how far is too far or is this kind of sex like okay, you know, because it's not like full on sex. Mm-hmm. It's different. There's no degrees of sex, especially if you're thinking through the lens again of like, I'm a follower of Jesus and sex is meant for marriage, right? That's what it's reserved for. It's intended to live in that world and only that world.
Yeah.
And so you can't dabble in it. There's no degrees of it. And so the better question than how far is too far, what is the limit, all that kind of stuff. The better question is, what length are we willing to go to that we would so guard that and reserve that thing as a sacred thing that is for the next season, right? Like, how far will we go to keep it really holy and to keep it pure and guarded? That's the better question.
And I think it's an important question because what I always like to tell dating people or people who are thinking about getting married is that issue of how far is too far or that issue of do I have self-control, you don't need that anymore after you get married. And so self-control is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Like, we have self-control. We have the ability to have it. And I don't need my husband.
You don't not need self-control.
I don't need you or me to not need self-control anymore.
Right.
We need self-control today, 22 years married, as much as we did when we were dating 22 years ago on February 14th when you asked me to marry you.
Right.
And so that self-control is an attribute that you want your spouse to have.
Totally.
Because that the temptation to go and have sex or do anything else outside of your marriage, it doesn't go away after you get married.
Right.
It's still there.
Right.
And so there's always that temptation. And I think that one of the things too that I always want to tell, especially young people, is I see a lot of, I'll speak for girls because I would hear that from them more, is to have these different degrees of sex, like you said, to where they say, well, it's not penetration.
Right.
And so it's not really sex. It's oral sex.
It's oral sex, so it's not real sex.
And so I think I would just want people to know that, like you said, there isn't this like, it's not like, oh, we can do oral sex and then that doesn't count.
Right.
But it actually does count because it is an intimacy between two people that God designed to be done within a marriage between a man and a woman.
That is level 10 access with level 4
commitment.
That's
exactly right. You are giving them level 10 intimacy.
Right.
Even if it is, you're not actually having penetration.
Right.
You're giving them that, but anyone can bail at any time.
So I tell guys this a lot, like, and I think women should hear this and like let this resonate with you. What I'm telling a guy is, dude, if you continue to crash through all the boundaries that you guys set up, so maybe your boundaries are, hey, we're not going to be at my house at night because I live alone, right?
Right.
And we're not going to make out, like we're not going to have make out sessions and we're not going to have oral sex and we're not going to, if you keep crashing through those boundaries, what you're showing your future bride is that you don't have self-control and that those boundaries don't really matter to you. And so what you're telling them is you can't trust me, right? And so part of it is building a trust because those same boundaries are going to be in place when you're married. They're just going to look different. Like a boundary in my life, right, is I'm not going to make out with another woman, right? I'm not going to have a romantic relationship with another woman. Mm-hmm. But that trust is being built up as you're dating to go like, no, he's legit. Maybe we've messed up. Maybe we pushed some boundaries too far. But I see from him a willingness to go back and go, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So we can't have the end of the date night at my house anymore. I love you enough and I respect you enough to hold true to these boundaries. And so if you have a guy that you're dating that can't do that, doesn't want to do that, keeps pushing through all those boundaries, that is an indicator that he hasn't learned self-control and he's not really fighting for you and your heart, soul, mind, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I had a guy that I was dating when I started following Jesus and we had been having sex and I came back and said, hey, I don't want to do this anymore because now I'm following Jesus and I know that this isn't what he wants for me. And he was not happy about that. That's a red flag because he only was concerned with himself, zero concern for me. That's a red flag that we should be aware of.
Right. At the college event that we were speaking at, we did a Q&A at the end, right? And I thought a really good question that somebody asked from the crowd was, hey, I, you know, I'm 22, 3 years old or whatever. I'm a virgin. And is that like what he was basically asking is that realistic? Like, can I actually do that in like today's world and the culture we live in? Is that just archaic and stupid? Like, can I do that? And so everybody has
that was a very mature question,
by the
way.
Super mature, right? And you know, we have two different stories. You weren't a virgin, I was a virgin. And so I shared a little bit of that story. Not only is it possible, it is what like God's plan, right? His perfect plan for how people should interact and date and move towards marriage is that sex is reserved for marriage. And so it's not only possible, but as you're walking with God, like he gives you the help, the ability, the discernment, the conviction, healthy boundaries, community in place, you know, accountability in your life to let that happen. So my encouragement to him was, yes, absolutely. But also don't bank it all on the fact of like, well, I'm good, I'm pure because I've never had like physical sex. It includes all things like, what are you doing with your mind? Like, what is your browsing habits look like? All of those things are factored into it. And so it's really more about like, not how do I keep from having physical sex one day, but as a single person, how do I make sure that I'm chasing after Jesus, that holiness in thoughts and action and all those little hidden private things, right, are true and are legit. Because if they are, that's like ammunition for fighting the really good fight in dating relationships.
And I love that you know, we can bring our two different stories to the table. And one thing we talked about when we said there's no such thing as casual sex is like, how do you actually set up boundaries for that and accountability? And when you and I were dating, we did not have sex before we got married, and we had accountability and we had boundaries that we set up. You lived alone, and I literally never went to the place that you lived because we just said this is not a good thing for us to be doing.
In fact, I lived in a little house in the woods. Remember that? Like yeah. far tucked away.
I went to a college party there.
Perfect place yeah. for a dating couple just to be dirty, yeah, right? Yeah. But that was a boundary.
Totally a boundary. And the closest we ever got to messing up was literally, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, but was literally 7 days before we got married.
Yep.
It's because we had our apartment and we were over there like getting stuff yep. ready, and you had already moved in, and I right. came over there 7 days before we're about to get married, and it's the closest we ever came to.
Totally. Totally.
I mean, you know, messing yep. up. I always want to say this too, is I'm always going to come at it from this advantage as well, is like, I want to speak to the person too that's walking in going, well, I'm not a virgin. And it could be within their dating relationship, but just someone who's like, I want to date, but I'm not a virgin. How do I deal with that? And I always talk about like, that is where the good, this is why Jesus came. This is the goodness of God. This yep. is the gospel, is that he came to save sinners and to reconcile them with God. And you can look before your people, your God, and say like, I have sinned. God, you have forgiven me, and now I am a new creation. And so you can walk out in that. You don't have to have your head hung down low.
Totally.
And I talk about this a lot in my very first book that I wrote, If You Only Knew, is where I really talked about that whole story of me yep. kind of owning myself as a follower of Jesus, letting go of shame and walking in freedom. And so it is possible. All right, I'm going to go to number four. Number four was this, is your relationship should look different than the world's dating relationship.
Right.
And we've talked about this a lot, even with the last example of there's no such thing as casual sex. And I think our friend that asked that question was really saying like, is it possible
yeah.
to date as a follower of Jesus and not fall into the trap that the world is telling us? Because everything right. we've said so far, who and how you date, don't act like you're married, there's no such thing as casual sex, all of those things fall into really easy dateable situations within our culture.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to look different than that, we've said a lot of things, but we're saying it should look different.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where it gets really difficult mm-hmm. because, you know, everything in our current like dating culture, it revolves around sex and intimacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the culture of dating. Like a lot of unbelievers would be like, wait, you're going to get married without ever trying mm-hmm. to have sex together to mm-hmm. see if you're compatible or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? That is such a normal part of dating outside of like a Christian like belief worldview. System mm-hmm. yeah. And so that's what makes it so hard, is because it seems archaic, it seems impossible, it seems dumb, mm-hmm. you know, but everything in the life of a believer should look different mm-hmm. than how the world kind of operates, you know. So as believers, none of us have a problem with thinking like, man, as a believer, how we spend money should look different than the world.
Right.
Or how we treat our kids, if you're a parent, should look different than somebody who doesn't know Jesus, right? How we love the poor and serve people should look different than somebody who doesn't know Jesus, right? We all come to the table and we say, yeah, of course, mm-hmm. right? But in dating, we seem to go like, well, I mean, but that's just kind of today. It's 2023. Right. That's what you do, mm-hmm. right? But our dating should look very different. It should look different in what we do with our time. It should look different in like what we're willing to engage in physically. Mm-hmm. It should look different in like how we include community and not isolate ourselves. Like it should look radically
yeah.
different. And I think the part that we always want to encourage dating relationships that are believers is, you actually have a really amazing opportunity to be something for the world, for your community, as a dating couple. Mm-hmm. Like you get to use dating as a way to do things for God together and to serve other people together, but then also to keep running your race
yeah.
and live your life and chase after God. Like you have a really rare opportunity for even your dating relationship to be a blessing to yeah. others. Like we've had several you know, couples who have been in the dating season where they were always quick to offer to babysit our kids when they were mm-hmm. little, and they got to do that together, mm-hmm. but then go home and be separate
yeah.
believers that are chasing yeah. after Jesus. Yeah. And I think that's an awesome opportunity that you have as a dating relationship. And that's different than what the world would say.
I agree. And I think, you know, that it's very easy to date like the world. That's not hard at all.
Easy.
That's an easy road. And so the people who are listening, I think, would be ones that would say like, no, I want to be set apart. I want to be different. And the truth is that God says that we are set apart and we are different. So if you are choosing to chase after Jesus, like you said, this will also look different than the rest of your life.
Right.
And it's like, ask God to help you. Like, God is not just far away and he doesn't care about this part of your life. God right. desires to be a part of all of your life if you will let him. And so ask him to help you, to guide you, to give you contentment.
Right.
You know, I mean, Paul talks about like, you know, I can do all things through Christ. Well, what he's saying is like, I'm content in all seasons only because of Jesus. You're not content in a dating relationship because you're awesome. You can be content dating, not dating, married, not married, children, not children, because of Jesus. Yep. Jesus is the one that gives you that contentment.
That's a good word. Contentment is the driver mm-hmm. for like having a healthy dating
yeah.
relationship.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm going to wait on God for the timing of if and when this should move to marriage. I'm gonna wait on God to, you know, form my path, her path, right? And then I'm also going to be content with like my identity being separate from the person that I'm dating, right? Because it's not like we talk about marriage being what the Bible says is a union, two become one, right? So in dating, it's a contentment with us still being two.
Yeah.
And not one yet.
So those are our four things. Who and how you date matters to God. Don't act like you're married until you are. There is no such thing as casual sex. Your relationship should look different from the world's dating relationships. And we could come up with four more next time, but those are the ones we came up with. But I want to ask you this real quick. I want to flip the script just a minute. As a pastor, as someone who's leading at a church, I already alluded earlier that I said I was so proud of you for that one time that I was like, he could have gone marriage examples so easy in that sermon, and he didn't. And as you and I are both trying to really not idolize marriage in unbeknownst to us in a way either. Like, we don't want to make that an idol in anyone else's life. Can you speak to leaders and pastors and teachers and people who are writing, people who are creating?
Yeah.
How do we lead institutions and how do we lead people well where we're not inadvertently idolizing marriage in a way that makes single people feel left out?
I think it has a lot to do with how we articulate things, how we communicate the gospel like to people, whether it's in a church context or in group settings or whatever, right? As a leader going, okay, if I am not idolizing marriage, I don't want to put that off in the examples that I use, the stories that I tell, the stories that I celebrate, right? So we're constantly kind of asking the question of like, what are we communicating about purpose and life and chasing after God? And is that somehow covered sometimes in like, well, here's a married couple who's living out the gospel, or here's a married couple that's doing this, or here's the ideal situation. You're married for, you know, 40 years and you have grandkids and all that kind of stuff. That is one story. That's one version of what God can do with a person's life. But also celebrating, man, here's this 25-year-old that is killing it for Jesus. Like, they are running after him. I met a guy at our house last night who, he's 25 years old. He got radically convicted about mission stuff, so he changed his major, and now he's getting a master's in public health because his whole aim is, I want to leave America and I want to go do public health in unreached people groups so that they can experience like the gospel through good medicine, right?
That's awesome.
And I'm like, and he's not dating anybody. It never even came up in conversation about like, after I find a wife or if I find a wife. He's just said, man, I'm following after God, and that's what he has for me. And so if other things get added into the equation, like somebody to date or married, I don't even care right now. What I care about is saying yes to God. So as a pastor, it's elevating those stories too. It's saying, man, here's a couple who doesn't have kids and they're in their 50s, and look how God is using them. And it's really easy just to grab onto the traditional like stories that we celebrate. So I think that's one thing that's super important. I think second is, as a leader, if you are only around the people like you, those are the people that you're gonna be using as examples and thinking about, right? So we've made it, we've been very intentional on, we have some married friends, great married friends, but we also have some single friends. We have college students in our house all the time. We have 30-year-olds who are single that are a part of our life. And I think that helps us lead a church better when you have more people, like with diversity of not just, you know, ethnicity, but also diversity in status of living and socioeconomic background and season of life, singleness, married, college, all those kind of things, I think help a lot.
That's good. Well, I'm proud of you and how you're leading out in that. So thanks for
thanks.
That. Okay. Anything you want to add before we move on?
Don't idolize marriage.
Don't idolize dating either.
Yep. And, okay, I'll add one more
thing.
Here's
what we should idolize.
What?
Jesus?
Yeah, we should do that. Most churches have like some sort of ministry for, marriage, pre-marriage kind of stuff. So I would say if you're dating and you're part of a church, seek that out.
Mm-hmm.
Like find an older couple that can do marriage, pre-marriage mentoring with mm-hmm. you. Do premarital counseling. Like even if you're in the dating stage, don't do premarital then, but if you're in the dating stage, find another couple that you can be honest with the ways that you failed or the things that are really hard in dating. Like don't do it alone.
Yeah.
Again, if you do it alone, you're totally going to fail.
Yeah.
But look for that.
Look for that. Okay, Aaron, thanks for coming on and talking about dating.
Thanks for having me.
Tonight's our date night.
It is our date night.
Where are we going?
I think what you told me is we have to go like shopping or something.
Oh, I want to go find a new pair of pants. Yeah.
Yep.
But we do a date night every Monday, try to.
Every Monday.
We try to.
Yep.
I think in January we didn't have one date night though, just so everyone doesn't
January think we're amazing. It was a tough month.
January was a tough month.
Yep.
Yep.
But tonight we have date night.
Tonight we have date night. Okay, Aaron, I'd love to know before you go, we want to know what you're reading.
We want to know what you're reading.
I'm reading a book called Leaving Ruin, and this is a very different kind of book for me. It's a novel, and I had heard that Eugene Peterson mentioned this novel. He said it's one of the best novels that he's ever read, and he read it like 10 times. I'm a huge fan of Eugene Peterson's work and just really respect what he did with his life a lot as a pastor. And so he mentioned it. And I'm like, well, I want to read that. So it's a novel about a burnt out pastor that lived in a small town in West Texas and just got really, really burnt out and wanted to quit and bail. And it's about him rediscovering a love for Jesus and for ministry. So
came out in 2002, I saw.
Yeah, it's not a new book. It's not a new book. But the writing is also awesome. Ann Dillard. Pulitzer Prize winner. So I'm loving it. And it's really, it's kind of a different.
Annie, just so everyone knows, she didn't write it.
Oh, no, no, no. Annie Dillard said it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's written by Jeff Berryman.
Yes.
Berryman.
Yes.
But I'm really enjoying it. It's
okay,
awesome. It's a different lane for me too. You know, it's not like a trade book
mm-hmm.
where I'm learning, taking information.
Yeah.
This is a novel, but I'm resonating a lot with it.
I love
it. Not because I'm burnt out and live in West Texas, but because I've had so many friends in ministry.
But we do love West Texas.
Experience burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy's wrestling with that in a really honest way.
I love it. Well, Aaron, it's always a joy to have you on the show.
I am so thankful that you invited me. I feel like at this table, there's been so many hype, awesome people. So
we've had a lot of great conversations in the last
amazing.
Year on the Happy Hour. And so super grateful.
You're killing it.
That people are still listening to the show. So
you're killing it. Love you.
Love you too.
Is that it? Or am I supposed to ask you a question? What are you reading?
Oh, do you want to know what I'm reading?
Yeah.
No one ever asked me. Not because they're rude, because it's my show.
Yeah, they're so rude.
I don't know.
What are you reading right now?
So I am reading a lot of things right now. Let me pull up my Goodreads account to tell you what I'm
okay.
reading. Okay. I'm actually interviewing Jared Rayner right after you today, and I'm reading one of his books.
Okay.
But here, that's not what I want. I am trying
While you're pulling it up, can I tell you the book that I just finished?
Yeah.
That is hands down the best book that I've read in the last 10 years.
Oh, gosh.
How
do I not know about this?
You do know about it. I did the audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
Surrender by Bono was absolutely incredible. And I would highly suggest doing the audiobook because he reads it. And it's he talks about 40 songs and stories to go with each one. At the beginning of the chapter, they play like the actual songwriting demo of it, and then he tells a story. Amazing writer. He talks so much about his faith, about how much he loves God, and then the tension between like loving God but not always loving Christians, and just their whole story of getting a lot of backlash as a band and all that kind of stuff. It's phenomenal.
When you finished it, you told me something else that he loved so much.
That Bono loved?
Uh-huh.
I did?
Yeah.
What?
You said he loved his wife so much. He loves. She's still here.
He loves his wife.
Yeah, that's what you said
to me. And his kids.
Yeah.
And Eugene Peterson, in that order.
Did you say you were listening to an album by Bono's son?
Yeah. He has a band. His son is like probably in his 20s. Has a band called Inhaler. And so I found that out and I started listening to his music.
Uh-huh.
And he sounds just like Bono singing.
This is like Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Totally.
And Colony his boys House. Have Colony House.
Yeah.
Do you want one of your boys to have a band?
I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, Caden's playing the old electric guitar right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Story might be your only bet, your only option.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Okay, here's what I'm reading. I'm reading by Bread Alone, A Baker's Reflection on Hunger, Longing, and Something Else by Kendall Vanderslice. She's coming up on the Happy Hours. Where?
Cool.
Well, I'm listening to Bono.
Yep.
Because you told me to. I'm almost done with Redeeming Your Time by Jordan Rayner. I'm really liking it. It's a helping you be a better worker with your time. And I'm interviewing him as well. I'm reading my first Eugene Peterson book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction.
Oh my gosh.
I started all these last year and I'm going to finish them.
So good.
And then I'm also reading another Eugene Peterson, like Do Your Youth. Dumbest name ever. I can say that because.
Do, D-E-W.
Your Youth.
Your Youth.
It's from a psalm, but it's, I sent you some parts of it. It's about raising
teenagers. I mean, I want to read that next.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really
good.
The
highlighted section you've sent me.
Yeah.
I've been like, dang.
Yeah, I know. It's been really helpful for us in our raising teenagers stage.
That's for another podcast episode.
That will not be aired. Aaron Ivey, thank you.
Yep, definitely. Thanks for having me.
The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey is a production of Ivey Media Podcast. Executive produced by Jamie Ivey. Produced by Lindsay Sweeney. Edited by Angie Elkins. Show notes by Nikki Ogden. Art by Jen Jett Barrett. Original music by Matt Graham. And I'm your host, Jamie. Have a happy hour with a friend.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.